If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. This is the Jason Burma Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
I wonder if I grab a ball cap if they'll let me wear it on air. We'll have to talk about that. Or maybe I'll wear the socks on my ears. But go get the gear over at TNTRadio.live. We're going to be talking perception versus reality. And I don't need your civil war, baby. You know, I wasn't going to add this part in, but again, I watched these headlines. And again, perception versus reality would have you believe that any person of color that wasn't a sellout to their own race hates Donald Trump and could never support him as a president. But as you saw in that video, there were plenty of people that did want to support Donald Trump. Isn't that in Atlanta? Oh my goodness. And that brings me to the idea of civil war. Now, what I want to say about this is I don't believe that civil war is actually possible in the United States. Again, perception versus reality. And why do I say that? Because a real civil war would be the people against a government. And this government is so outside of being taken down in traditional military fashion, it is laughable that people think that is possible. Now, what do I mean by that? Guys, I was watching RoboCop again. I know we got some RoboCop references throughout the week, but it is incredibly politically relevant today because one of the subplots as they're going through the move, news is they're talking about the Strategic Defense Initiative program. And that was Reagan weaponizing space. And there's kind of a side subplot conspiracy theory that a lot of people don't pick up on. But in that movie, they are able to do this, and one of them, quote unquote, misfires. So a laser from the sky misfires, and 134 people are killed. And it's out in, I believe, California, maybe San Francisco, don't quote me on that. But what is one of the subplots, and it just says it in passing, is that two former presidents had been killed. Now think about that for a second. You know, the weapon misfunctions, and out of 134 people, two presidents are dead. Perception versus reality. Okay, and the perception of a civil war is not only being portrayed by the mainstream media, but there's about to be a big movie coming out this week. In fact, I think it drops tonight. It is from Adam Garland, and he was the writer of 28 Days Later, very talented guy, also the director of Ex Machina, which I think is very worth watching. Actually, it's Alex Garland. See, I get things wrong. Now, I've seen some reviews on the film, and essentially it follows journalists who are just there to get the picture. Okay, so it's not taking a political stance one way or another, but it's showing you some of the ideas of what warfare would be like in a civil war. Now, since I haven't seen this, I can't give you a review of it, but I can tell you this right now, that if actual physical warfare happens in this country, all right, it will be in pockets. It will likely be people against one another that have no real stake in this. And at the top, the bureaucracy that is in place right now will in fact stay in place. The continuity of government program, aka the shadow government, is so beyond what people think it is and its ability. You know, it's not just billionaires and bunkers on islands you've never heard of. All right. This country has a ton of underground military bases. I'll never forget my time in Atlanta, Georgia, all the way back in 2006 when I interviewed Cynthia McKinney, former member of Congress. And one of the things we talked about was when she first got into Congress, her and some of her immediate family were taken to the underground city in case of an emergency. And she was utterly shocked at how developed it actually was. And they take you through, you know, we talked about drills earlier, you know, where you go, where you are, and where these things will take you. And again, that's just something they showed her on the outskirts. She doesn't have a massive security clearance at that point. She's a freshman in Congress. Can you imagine those that do? So don't get sucked into this idea of brother against brother, sister against sister, neighbor against neighbor, or that a civil war is on the verge or even possible. No, we have a tyrannical government and a predator class above them that want to pit all of us against each other so that they can try to consolidate power globally. And we are at the jewel of the crown of globalism if they're able to take over. Folks, we're going to take a quick break, but let me tell you, when we come back to bring the ruckus, it's getting Space Force time. I can't wait. Space Force! More TNT Radio after this. Give us a follow on social media. Make that donation today. Buy the socks. Get the hat. TNT Radio after this.
Getting straight to the facts.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
On Thursday, the U.S. Space Force announced it is partnering with two companies, Rocket Lab and True Anomaly, for a first-of-its-kind mission to demonstrate how the military might respond to an orbital adversary. Here with the story, joining me now once again is TNT News producer Adam Clark. He's bringing the ruckus. Sir, what have you with Space Force and this orbital threat?
I think we're getting ready for Star Wars, and not the kind that Reagan was talking about. We're talking about actual threats taking place in space, fighting with each other, chasing each other, something straight out of a movie. Is this real? I don't know. There are some people who don't even think we're in space. So this is fascinating. There's certainly some money involved. I will tell you that lots and lots and lots of money that went to these two private companies, thanks to the military's Defense Innovation Unit. Rocket Lab was awarded $32 million for its part in this upcoming mission. True Anomaly's contract with SpaceWorks, that's WERX, which is the innovation arm of the Space Force, valued at $30 million. True Anomaly themselves is contributing $30 million in private capital to help pay for the mission, brings the total costs of said mission to approximately $92 million, the whole thing being overseen by Space Safari. That is a division of Space Systems Command. You can't make this up. The name of the mission, in case you're wondering, where did it go? Victus something. Where the heck is it? Victus Haze. That's right. So here's what's going to happen during this mission. The spacecraft, built and launched by Rocket Lab, is going to chase down a satellite made by True Anomaly. According to Space Force's Space Systems Command in a statement, quote, the vendors will exercise a realistic threat response scenario in an on-orbit space domain awareness demonstration called Victus Haze, end quote. The threat scenario could involve a satellite performing maneuvers that approach a U.S. spacecraft or a satellite doing something else unusual or unexpected. In such a scenario, the Space Force wants to have the capability to respond either to deter an adversary from taking action or to defend a U.S. satellite from an attack. General Michael Gutlin, the Space Force's Vice Chief of Space Operations, said, quote, when another nation puts an asset up into space and we don't quite know what that asset is, we don't know what its intent is, we don't know what its capabilities are, we need the ability to go up there and figure out what this thing is, end quote. And that is what the Space Force wants to demonstrate with Victus Haze. That's right, it's a demonstration. For the mission, True Anomaly's spacecraft will launch first, posing as a satellite from a potential adversary, say like China or Russia. For argument's sake, Rocket Lab will have a satellite on standby to go up and inspect True Anomaly's spacecraft and will launch it when the Space Force gives the launch order. According to what Evan Rogers, co-founder and CEO of True Anomaly, says about the whole thing, he sounds like an Elon Musk character. He said, quote, pretty sporty, end quote. Yep. Then if all goes according to plan, the two spacecraft will switch roles with True Anomaly's Jackal satellite actively maneuvering around Rocket Lab's satellite. According to the Space Force, True Anomaly and Rocket Lab will deliver their spacecraft no later than the fall of 2025. Gutelin said, quote, if a near peer competitor makes a movement, We need to have it in our quiver to make a counter maneuver, whether that be go up and do a show of force or go up and do space domain awareness or understand the characteristics, characterization of the environment. What's going on? End quote. Victus Haze is actually the next in a series of military missions dedicated to validating something called TACRS, Tactically Responsive Space Capabilities. With these efforts, the Space Force and its commercial partners, cha-ching, have shown how they can compress the time it takes to prepare and launch a satellite. That's right. They're going to do it safely and effectively. I guess they did something similar just recently. Last year, the Space Force partnered with Firefly Aerospace and Millennium Space Systems on the Victus Nox mission. The Victus Nox satellite was built and tested in less than a year and then readied for launch in less than 60 hours. That's pretty quick. Firefly successfully launched the spacecraft on its Alpha rocket 27 hours after receiving launch orders from the Space Force, which is considered a remarkable achievement in an industry where satellites take years to build and launch campaigns typically last weeks or months. Gudelin said in a discussion earlier this year hosted by the Center for Strategic and International Studies, quote, "We no longer have the luxury of time to wait years, even 10 to 15 years to deliver some of these capabilities. A tactically relevant timeline is a matter of weeks, days, or even hours," end quote. Now, mind you, Jason, this does come on the heels of them, you know, raising alarm bells or trying to say that China has all these tracking satellites in space. We heard something similar about Russia. So yeah, here we are. You're actually pretty well researched in this. So what do you have to say about the Victus Haze mission?
All right. First of all, when we are talking about space, we have to understand that first world nations that are also nuclear powers and space powers are on the ISS together. Now, prior to the Muskernuts and SpaceX, we were launching those astronauts, our astronauts, other astronauts globally, from Kazakhstan under the Russian banner, okay? We also have to understand that the United States was behind the Russian military in space on a number of levels, satellites being the first one. I would encourage people to please read Annie Jacobson's The Pentagon's Brain, all about DARPA, because that lays out a lot of that. Because in order to combat Sputnik, ARPA, which was the Advanced Research Project Agency and the predecessor, began developing this. And there was a tit-for-tat space race. But a lot of people forget Russia was the first to orbit the Earth. Russia was the first multi-manned mission. Russia was the first woman in space. And let's just say there's a lot of skepticism surrounding, say, I don't know, the Apollo missions. We'll leave it at that. Reagan brings us the Strategic Defense Initiative program in the 80s. Now, this was largely sold on the idea that it would be able to knock out Russian nuclear capabilities. Recently, when we were talking about the Ukrainian-Russian conflict, Elon Musk decided to get into a verbal sparring match online with the head of their space agency. It was actually then, years ago, that he said, "Go ahead, we have nuclear weapons in space. You will be very sorry." So right there, you had the head of the space agency threatening nuclear annihilation long before we recently got that warning, right? In fact, When the war kicked off, there was some talk about whether or not astronauts were going to have to leave the ISS. Now, look, there's a lot of research going on there as well. And here's the thing about all of it. We can't audit any of it. We don't have the capability to truly audit what weapon systems are where. But I also have the chief engineer of NASA, the chief scientist of NASA, and he'd been there since pre-Apollo, we're talking Gemini days, being asked about satellites in space that were moving like weapon systems. This is 5+ years ago, 2018 FIRE conference. You want to know what he said, Adam? No comment. Oh, yeah. Bro, no comment. Can't talk about it. He laughed a little bit. No comment. And he said, I'm a representative for the National Defense Council. All right. So NASA is defense. Space Force is old news and rebranded. There is a lot going on in space, but good luck when you get down to the nitty gritty on whose weapon systems are capable of what, whether or not they're beyond nation states and privatized on some levels, and what threat they truly, truly have against not just each other as nation states, but how about the general populaces and tyrannical governments of each? Just a thought, Adam. Anything else?
Yeah, then you throw in the whole potential aliens into the equation and it can get super fun. So I don't want to, you know, go too far with that. But yeah, thanks for your input on this one, Jason. I knew you could clear things up for us.
Well, I appreciate you bringing it up, and I'm only worried about the aliens that they portray in the movies and try to portray as real. That's just me. We're going to hit a break when we come back. Diddy do it. We're talking P. Diddy finally, and not just P. Diddy, but his sons as well. Craig Pastajardoula is going to be joining us. Don't move. We got more great TNT Radio Live after this.
TNT's David Curtin.
These draconian laws which are being imposed on society simply cannot be policed, and that they will just act on their own volition to stop investigating these things. But they have instruction from the SNP government in Scotland that they must investigate every single complaint that is made under this new law, and it simply is not possible to do so. Now, where the people of Scotland have been so good here is that they are filing all kinds of complaints which are completely ridiculous under normal circumstances, but this is an act of resistance. It is an act of defiance to make people realize that this kind of tyrannical law cannot be implemented and it cannot be sustained.
David Curtin on today's News Talk, TNT. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission. We don't rock. We talk. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
You know, we opened the show with OJ, so what better time to talk Diddy do it? Look, I haven't talked about the Puff Daddy scandal anywhere at length. I've hit on it here and there. SGT Report asked me about it. But here to break it all down is Craig Pastajardoula. We've talked to him about a myriad of issues before, including election integrity. We've actually got another civil case on top of all the ones we've been hearing out about over the last few months. This one actually includes one of his sons and the possible drugging of a girl. What makes this one a little more interesting than some of the other allegations, she claims to have an audio tape of the incident, her actually asking at the time whether or not she was being drugged before she took the drink. Craig, what's the word on the street with all of these cases against Diddy? A lot of people have said he wasn't the best of guys, but this is really not making him look great.
Wow, isn't it crazy, Jason Burmes, that I'm on here talking about Puff Daddy Combs to you when you were such a leader in showing us the way? You and guys like Luke Radowski, where a leftist like myself found it okay to talk about Jeffrey Epstein, eventually catching lightning in a bottle and then growing from that story on itself. And now I'm here with you today to talk about another Epsteinite, is what I like to call them, because it's from the same tree. These are people that are connected to Clive Davis, people like David Geffen, these moguls that seem to be part of the untouchable crew, right? Well, this particular situation is another civil case. This is not right yet a criminal case, but I mean, I got to tell you, you mentioned right off the bat, there's an audio tape in this situation. Now, Puff Daddy Combs is not accused of sexual assault in this civil case right here. His son, Christian King Combs, is. But Puff Daddy is accused of pushing for a cover-up. In fact, it says in the transcript itself that Puff Daddy gave the captain of the boat after the incident a big tip to make things kind of go away. And eventually it led to this captain months later firing this young girl, Grace. I got to read her name. Markeg, I believe is how you say it. And ever since the incident, which was pretty graphic, and you are right, there is an audio tape. I mean, this is mind-blowing. You know, at first, I think a lot of people, Jason, would think that these people are just being stupid. Why would they have an audio tape? They just slipped. But if you remember Puff Daddy, and we remember some of the Bad Boy albums, especially the ones with Big Notorious B.I.G., there were like these little recordings of Puff Daddy before a song, saying some stuff, talking to a female and whatnot. So I don't know if it was kind of emulating that. But what I learned from people like yourself and Luke is that these people who participate in these Satanist acts of sorts, they kind of got this kind of freaky thing going on. Yeah, I think there's a lot of recording and videotaping people that they don't know. But for some reason, Jason, I got a feeling that he recorded this as some form of like weird kinky pleasure for himself as he's assaulting a girl. I mean, the tape itself from the transcripts is damning. It's just destroys the situation. If he hasn't been arrested yet, I mean, both Sean Combs and Christian Combs are claiming that it's false allegations. But if there's this audio tape out there, it's pretty damaging. I mean, she says the whole time, hey, take it easy, get your hands off my legs. In fact, it ends with her saying, take your hands off my ASS.
So when you talk about the fact that many of these people who are in the celebrity world, and I understand that this is his son, you know, this is a new age, a lot of people tape things, but this is all the way back in, I think, 2006 is it's derived from, I believe. This one might be a newer one, but I'm pretty sure it's all the way back then. This isn't a rare occurrence, and what do I mean by that? If you look at, who is it, 6ix9ine, who is a convicted pedophile, by the way, he was putting up these sexual encounters with teenage girls on Instagram. Oh, Instagram's still around, not a poisonous app. You look at, I don't know if you remember, but there was that big iPhone hack of celebrities, and you had the Fappening, right? And you had big time A-listers on there, one of which was Jennifer Lawrence. Right. I don't know if you saw those videos of Jennifer Lawrence. They were not flattering, but word on the street, never confirmed. I'm putting that out there. This is speculation, Jason Berman style, but that they were Harvey Weinstein's videos. That's the phone that got hacked in that instance. Later, that happened before Weinstein would go to court and eventually be convicted of a lot of his disgusting sexual behavior. But a lot of that is still in different court systems. You know, he's been accused of girls as young as 16 and sexually molesting them. Now, when you get to Puff Daddy, obviously there's another level to this because of the allegations of men, of other artists under him, and basically all these people that were trying to be famous. You know, even one of his ex-girlfriends is kind of at the heart of this civil case. She was signed by him when she was 19 years old. He was 37. And, you know, she's not the only one with these stories of sexual assault, both by him and being put into situations with male sex workers and abuse. And that doesn't even get, again, to the allegations about younger male stars, does it, Craig?
No, not at all. I mean, and there is just plain proof. And by the way, we were talking about Cassie, that young 19 girl. While Christian Combs was committing this assault that he had recorded, Cassie was playing in the background. That's the craziness of this whole thing. The symbolism is just through the roof, Jason, that you taught us to pay attention to, right? It's like, it's through the roof on this one. You can't make this stuff up. But, you know, we understand, I think a lot of people who understand this behavior, who've, you know, looked at these cases before, who've looked into Epstein, who've looked into maybe some of the Mormon activities in the Utah church that Derek Brose had looked into. You know, we understand that, you know, a lot of these people, you know, when Jeffrey Epstein's place was, you know, raided by the feds, was it, were they looking for evidence for him to convict him for a crime? Or was it the elites sending their goon squad to go and try to recover anything that those people were holding against them or somebody else? So when they raided at one time the New York house, the LA house, and the Miami house, I was wondering if they were trying to find stuff that Puff Daddy had on them, because we never got to see a lot of the videos, did we, right? When it came to Epstein Island, we sure as hell don't know what happened in Zorro Ranch. So I've been wondering this whole time, did the feds raid Puff Daddy because they were sent by the ruling class to find out what he has and what he's holding over their heads? Or is it just something they're looking to convict him on? But no matter what you think of it, you know, the behavior stands. There was a bottle, supposedly, that Christian Combs brought on board to give this young girl. And at one point, she even says in the transcript, take a shot. He's like, I'm not going to lie, I'm not taking a shot. You shoot it. You shoot it. Right. And then all of a sudden, these girls, the sex workers they've been having on that were reported throughout many days before this night, passing out on the boat and whatnot. So it seems like they were drugged. You know, this stuff is just, I can't see this thing going and ending in a halfway decent way, even if they have the audio. And I wonder how it's going to be spun. I don't know why there wasn't a payout the way there was to Cassie with this situation, but it's quite alarming, man. And this girl, her life destroyed. Ruin, hasn't been able to get a job, seizures, anxiety attacks, got fired, gained a ton of weight, didn't even attend her sister's wedding. It's all in the thing there. Her life has just been ruined because she had to face, you know, this serious trauma. Let's not forget, Jason, it's not like a house she can get up and get in a car and leave. She was in the ocean on a boat. She can go nowhere.
You know what? That's another aspect, that a lot of these assaults take place in somewhere where the person who is being assaulted feels helpless, cannot get away. And that's something that's not discussed a lot. We got to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about other aspects of this and possible criminal charges against Puff Daddy coming up. It is TNT Radio Live, and we'll be back with more after this.
Now,
I've got news for you.
Give me the news.
Give it to me.
Give me the news.
TNT Radio News.
News flash.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. The U.S. is considering using future profits from seized Russian assets to raise debt to support Ukraine. According to a senior White House official, Dilip Singh, Deputy National Security Advisor for International Economics. The House passed a revised version of a bill to reauthorize Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, for 2 years. Following a failed attempt to advance a different version that did not adequately address civil liberties concerns, according to some lawmakers.
The common housefly. Caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
And we are back. Pasta enjoying the commercials here. They are top tier. We're talking P. Diddy. We're talking possible criminal charges. And so far, here is my take on that. Now, a lot of people know that Keefe D has been implicated in being in the car in which Tupac was murdered from. There are multiple documentary films out there that posit we already know who killed Tupac. It is indeed the individual in which they get in this fight with in the casino prior over the thing. That person died, I think, 4 or 5 years after Tupac was taken out. What people forget about those documentary series is it was alleged that Puff Daddy had an open bounty on Tupac Shakur. I believe it was $50,000. Again, don't quote me. It's been a long time since I've seen these documentary films. I think with the arrest of Keefe D and the possibility of him testifying under oath after the fact, with the surrounding lawsuits that we saw come one after another, one of which, as you mentioned, was settled literally the day after it was filed, and it was filed with some really egregious activity, now was the time to pounce. I think that they also maybe wanted to go after possibly some of the more vulnerable victims that were in the hip-hop world and part of, what is it, P. Diddy's Dream Factory? I forget what it was. Usher, others have talked about it. Now, whether or not there is sexual relationships with P. Diddy and some of these younger male artists, and whether or not any of that was underage, I think that that's up in the air. I think the rumors are out there. But I would also like to reiterate that Tupac Shakur himself said that while he was dating Quincy Jones's daughter, Quincy Jones tried to have sex with him. So this is not an uncommon practice within the entertainment world, within the music world. And quite frankly, if you want to get into things like boy bands and you look at a guy named Lou Pearlman, there's a lot of shady things going on with the guy that brought you Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. And even further, you look at Menudo, and many members of Menudo have now come out and talked about being abused as young boys. And let's not forget, Ricky Martin was a member of Menudo as well, putting it out there. So with all that information, what are your thoughts on the possibility that that's why we have these moves that may in fact become criminal charges? Do you think criminal charges are coming? And what do you think the outcome of these lawsuits are going to be?
Well, first off, let me make a confession that I saw Menudo with Ricky Martin in 1980 in El Cayocho in Miami when I moved here. Guilty as charged. But that's a very interesting question, Jason, because I don't know where Puff Daddy is or P. Diddy or Sean Combs is on the totem pole, right? And it's interesting with Epstein. I kind of think all the time, I don't think he's necessarily dead. I think he's either hanging out in Saudi Arabia or somewhere in Israel, maybe. But there is a possibility that they killed him because they wanted to get rid of him and erase all the trail and any evidence of anything he's done. So I put up a poll shortly after I started talking about Puff Daddy, and the question was, will Puff Daddy be Epstein by the elite, or will he be protected by the elite? And protected also means because he's holding something over their head. He has some form of blackmail, which would keep him alive, that if he does go away, there will be a dead man switch. We always hear that mystery, that fable over there. Will it ever really happen? I know I don't believe it either, but you know, is he holding on to something that could be held over some people's head? Does he have enough information? And he's obviously rubbed elbows with enough people. And I also, you know, while we're talking about the 15-year-olds and the 14-year-olds, Usher spent the whole year with Puff Daddy when he was 14 years old. You had talked about, but Justin Bieber, there's a kind of disturbing clip with Puff Daddy talking about Justin Bieber having the time of a 15-year-old live, the time of his life, a 15-year-old style way. It was kind of weird and really creepy. But there's a video out of that too as well. And then Puff Daddy does have those connections with the dude from Nickelodeon. What's the big guy's name? Who I forgot.
Schneider? He's got Dan Schneider connections?
There's Dan Schneider connections. He was on a, you know, Nickelodeon show. So, I mean, he's got all these connections. And really, to tell you the truth, it's just one of those things, Jason. I don't know if they want him to go away. You know what I'm saying? He goes away, right? You know, if they want to keep him around, they keep him around. So I don't know at this point if he's necessarily being protected or if they're just looking to Epstein him. Maybe this is all just kabuki theater right now to give, you know, the wolves, the people, I should say, some red meat, right? The same way they arrested Ghislaine Maxwell. Oh, there's accountability. Ghislaine Maxwell went to jail. But people like us, people like Addy Ads, who went and covered his trial, they're like, but she got arrested for trafficking children to nobody. None of the client list went away. So, it remains to be seen the situation where Puff Daddy is right now. We can only pay close attention and see what happens. But he got out really quickly. You know, they arrested him real quickly. They brought him in, and he was out the next day putting stuff on Instagram and going out mini golfing. So, I mean, who knows? It doesn't seem like, you know, really, to tell you the truth, the thing that's really bothering Puffy right now is when you see these little Instagram videos of him pop up are people like 50 Cent, people like Cat Williams opening their mouths. I think that's really damaging and upsetting, and it's ruining his reputation. And that is what's damaging right now. So
Well, I got to say this. I was never Bad Boys for Life. I always kind of was picking at Diddy. I never got on that train. Hey, Notorious B.I.G., extremely talented, Ready to Die, and, of course, Life After Death, two classics. But there was always something about him that I did not like. I think the main difference between him and, obviously, the Epstein case is that he seems to be solely within the realm of Hollyweird. That doesn't mean there's not powerful executives and other people of influence that he may have taped and who knows, maybe blackmailing after the fact. I think when you look at Epstein, it is very clear they're looking at billionaires, not just millionaires, not entertainers mostly, but those in the field of science, politics, etc. And as I've stated a number of times, Epstein, clearly, there is clear evidence that he was, in fact, an arms dealer and not just working with U.S. intelligence. As you know, many people have talked about that Israeli intelligence. And just kind of as a side note, when we're talking about entertainers, all you have to do is watch that recent video of Lewis Black talking about the one time that he met Epstein in his New York home, and Epstein showed him a whiteboard, pointed to it, and said, "You know what that is? That's the weapon systems I was just discussing with the Israeli defense minister last night." So there's no reason that Epstein would have a whiteboard talking to the Israeli defense minister unless he was selling them some weapons. Mr. Jardula, a pleasure as always. We'll be having you back soon, my friend. We got to take a break. We're going to come back. We've got the man, the myth, the legend, the guy that gave me this gig. I'm really sitting in his spot right now, Havori Morick. You're not going to want to miss it. We're going to be talking Israel and beyond. This is the Jason Burma Show. More TNT Radio Live after this.
I'm CAL FIRE Battalion Chief Isaac Sanchez. And normally we like to provide you with tips on how to keep yourselves and your family safe during wildfires. But given the historic impacts that the weather has had on our state this year, we would like to provide you with tips on how to keep yourself safe during extreme weather. If you reside in an area susceptible to flooding, please take the necessary steps to prepare to evacuate if advised. Make sure you've identified at least two exit routes out of your neighborhood, as one of them may be blocked or flooded. As the weather develops, remember to check in on vulnerable neighbors and family members. They may need additional time to prepare for evacuation. And just like during a wildfire, if you feel unsafe, please evacuate. You don't have to wait for the order to come. Keep an emergency go bag ready in case you need to evacuate. And always remember to plan for the safety of your pets as well. If you must leave, never drive around roadblocks. It can take as little as 12 inches of water to sweep your vehicle away. And always remember the mantra, turn around, don't drown. Be aware of first responders working in highly impacted areas, especially on the roads. For additional safety tips and updates on CAL FIRE activities, follow us on social media or visit fire.ca.gov.
I want to eat apples and bananas. I need to eat apples and bananas. Why can't I eat apples and bananas?
Support the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks to help provide meals to those in need. Join us at feedingamerica.org.
Disassembling the lies and reassembling the truth. This is the Jason Burma Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
A month ago, if you were watching this time slot, the gentleman we're bringing up right now would have been very familiar. Havori Morick is with us, and I can't thank him enough for this opportunity. I've had a blast over the last month talking to some very interesting people. But one thing that really has not changed is the escalation of the military actions in the Middle East, mainly by Israel with this Palestinian conflict. And, you know, I've been talking about it since its inception. I don't like seeing dead kids in my feed. And I only really scroll through the Twitter, the X, whatever you want to call it. I'm not a social media guy, but I see enough terrible in there. And I've reported on enough awful stories from the videos that were leaked out of civilians clearly unarmed walking down, being drone to death, to the revelations of AI lavender being used to target, I believe, 35 to 37,000 individuals, to the admission to Wolf Blitzer that an entire refugee center was targeted and destroyed for one member of Hamas. All of these are things and revelations that have gone over the past few months. But now we have Benjamin Netanyahu openly saying that an offensive in Rafah is going to be a reality. And really, this march of war beats on, does it not?
Most definitely. You know, I've been talking to a lot of folks in my podcast as well, and I just don't see how we get off this train. You know, the momentum has built, and it seems like Israel and the Netanyahu government is painting itself into a corner. And I was thinking a bit, you know, to get a little bit biblical here, it's something that they've always done throughout history. You know, if you look at even Old and New Testament, they always disobey God and end up making a lot of mistakes, and God has to come in to sort of save them. And it just seems like right now, you know, you even had this piece from Haaretz, I think it was today, where the op-ed a couple days ago, yesterday, says Haaretz reporting, saying what can't be said. Israel has been defeated, a total defeat. And they rant about Netanyahu's government. One Israeli says, "We're being held hostage by the worst leadership in the country's history and a decent contender for the title of worst leadership anywhere ever. Israel has no diplomatic exit." And so you're seeing the prices of gold shoot up today and other, you know, currencies and commodities. And it's just not looking good. Everyone's kind of wondering what's going to happen over the weekend.
So what are your thoughts on what the next steps are? Because you even have somebody like Trump, who has been a staunch supporter of Israel. In fact, much of his foreign policy regarding Israel, I was no fan of, from the fact, hey, we're just going to make Jerusalem the capital. Hey, the Golan Heights are yours. Take them, even though they weren't theirs. But at the same time, there was not a vast amount of military escalation in that region. Now he's come out and said that because of the military escalation in the Middle East via Israel, they may lose support across the board because it does look so vicious, because people have eyes, essentially. You know, he didn't condemn their actions. He just said, look, a lot of people are disagreeing with what they've done, and they don't seem like they're going to curb that behavior. So what are your thoughts on that? And then, what does it look like if they don't curb their behavior? Because we've had people on this show that say a two-state solution is not only not a possibility, but never was. Well, if there's no two-state solution, what does that mean for the rest of Palestine?
The status quo perhaps continues. It just seems like the Israeli government will never go for a one-state solution because, you know, the demographics over time, Palestinians come to outnumber ethnic Israelis. And so I'm reading, you know, from smart people, all sorts of opinions these days. And it's, you know, as you're pointing out, it seems like Israel could be losing its graces with the Biden administration. Maybe not, you know, maybe last minute some alternative decisions will be made. I'm hoping that this hype of Iran retaliating, then nothing happens. Actually, just before joining, I saw a meme right now that said, just once, I would like to see a headline, peace breaks out, soldiers go home. But again, it's a crapshoot. Like, we don't know if things can pop off or cooler heads can prevail. And so I really see it going either way, where the, you know, Washington could distance itself from Israel and they could start to lose support from the U.S. Or that relationship remains.
You know, one of my frustrations, though, is when you talk about the United States losing support for what's obviously going on, and it's horrific. You know, I didn't even have to see the video that Alex Jones posted today. I just saw his little headline and I saw the screenshot. I'm like, I'm not clicking this. I can't do this. If that happens, if somehow they're able to disassociate from Israel, what does that really mean? I mean, what does it mean for this country? Because there has been large military scale support on both sides, right? Every time, again, I talk to one of these pundits, they act like Joe Biden and the administration are being soft with Israel. They should be giving them everything they want. And yet, look, Joe Biden's not running anything. As far as I can see, you know, the military industrial complex is still giving them everything we want. It's not like the U.S. Special Forces that were there on October 7th, and they were there on October 7th. It's not like they're coming home. No, they sent more U.S. Special Forces. So, you know, isn't the reality more that we're just there clandestine and we're trying to mitigate the global repercussions that come with the narrative that we are supporting them?
I mean, you're making me think, you know, if push comes to shove, it does seem the U.S. would stick with Israel. And some interesting comments that I'm reading these days, I'm looking at all around the world sources, you know, Russian esoteric intellectual Alexander Dugin. What's kind of unnerving me is his sort of zeal for getting the war started. I'm following his telegrams and he's saying the Russian city, he says Jerusalem will be Russian or it will not exist at all. And he's angry that Iran hasn't retaliated. And that sort of makes me think of that U.S.-Israel relationship where, you know, there are some Russian thinkers like Dugin who are saying we need to go. It's starting to paint, you know, a little picture of prophecy again. If you know, Russian thinkers like Dugin are saying, let's get Israel, there's Iran. And so I think if push came to shove, I guess Washington would stick with Israel. And, you know, there were reports again today, Netanyahu talking about Israel preparing for arenas outside Gaza. And, you know, this was just a funky story I came across. The Temple Mount, there's this Temple Mount organization. A lot of people know about the whole Red Heifer thing. But apparently this Temple Mount organization submitted a request to the Israeli police to allow the introduction of an altar and knives to slaughter the red cows in Al-Aqsa Mosque on April 22nd, 10 days from now. So, it's just a lot of crazy things going on here.
You know, just the fact that any kind of foreign war or policy would be based on religion prophecy from thousands of years ago in 2024 is extremely disturbing on any level to me. And, you know, even if you do believe it, I mean, if we're there, that's scary. And it's real, it's scary. It's even scarier if it's not real and they're trying to bring it into fruition. And that brings me to my next point that you just alluded to. The fact that we openly have others saying, yeah, no, it doesn't end in Gaza. It doesn't end with the end of Palestine. There's already been military conflicts on the Lebanese border. Many people think they might go for Lebanon. And, you know, you mentioned Dugin. It does disturb me that people like Dugin want to kick this off, but if you don't think Dugin was highly affected by the fact that his own daughter was murdered in the, you know, beginning of the escalation of the Ukrainian-Russian conflict, I'm sure that's playing into his mindset. I mean, Dugin's not going to live forever. He's a much older guy. He's just lost his kid. I can see where that would push somebody into wanting a global military conflict with those that he may deem responsible.
I could see that, but I think a lot of this also connects the situation to what's happening globally, systemically. There's an interesting account I follow, finance a lot, I think, on X, and the economic system, right? The financial system is having issues. So that sort of ties into timing for future war actions. And I thought this was an interesting quote today from Jeffrey Tucker, who's a friend of TNT Radio. He cites Gunther Riemann from 1939, where he says, quote, Nazi leaders in Germany do not fear possible national economic ruin in wartime. They feel that whatever happens, they will remain on top, that the worse matters become, the more dependent on them will be the property classes. And if the worst comes to the worst, they're prepared to sacrifice all other interests to maintain their hold on the state. If they themselves must go, they're ready to pull the temple down with them. And now whether that's the Israeli government or the American Empire / Brussels, London, I feel like it's the same. It's been the same throughout history. These few elites in power have no qualms about bringing the temple down, so to speak.
I mean, you're talking about that figuratively, but in reality, you know, there is, again, this prophecy that the Temple Mount will be taken out and it will be rebuilt. And this is about, again, you're talking about multiple prophecies. If the Temple Mount is destroyed, is that World War III? I mean, because I feel like that's the one kind of sacred cow, kind of pun intended here, everybody, that if that is destroyed, we may see global warfare. And the bottom line is, who knows who kicks that off, whether or not a Tehran decides to do something, et cetera, or even a false flag on the United States or Western Front. The bottom line is, that is such a symbol of religious beliefs now for thousands of years and such a contested area that that could literally kick off what we would call World War III.
I always direct people to this excellent documentary on the Shin Bet. Absolutely fantastic. And the Shin Bet answer to that question is that it would be World War III, because in that film, they discuss how in the 90s, an Israeli extremist group was planning to blow up Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the Shin Bet had to come in and stop them, because they're like, you know, if you do that, you're going to have Muslims from like Asia and the whole world descend upon Israel. And so pretty much, you know, if that's what the Shin Bet thinks, probably, yeah.
So what do you think about the fact that obviously this Biden administration is not popular, has not been popular. More and more of the left is extremely upset with what's going on in the Middle East, to the point where they are now protesting Joe Biden or any other establishment leftist figure, whether it be Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, etc., en masse, saying that this is genocide. Does that actually affect the election in any real way in this country? In other words, can it siphon enough votes away from Biden that even in a corrupt 2024 election, it makes a difference?
Again, I think it can go either way, especially because you're seeing the military intelligence state ramp up their control of the election process and social media. I've interviewed Robert Epstein, who he's monitoring how Google can sway any way, any which way that they want the elections, and it's ephemeral. You can't even tell what's going on. So I feel like almost like they have God mode when it comes to elections, where they could, you know, you can, as you mentioned, there could be these protests. Biden is not popular, but they rig it, you know, the DHS, CISA, big tech, they rig it so Biden wins. I could see that. Or, you know, as you say, we could see the backlash so bad that it becomes even difficult for them to cover that up. And then we get some other candidate, you know, Hillary trying again, or Michelle Obama, or Newsom, American Psycho.
Well, I think we could get any of them at any moment if Joe Biden just drops dead on air from being Joe Biden and obviously being on his last legs. I joke about that, but that may be the October surprise. I mean, we've already got a dementia-ridden puppet in there. He's not running anything. The country, in many ways, has acquiesced and accepted that. I think it is absolutely unacceptable. And at the same time, you still have that group of TDSers out there that claim that Trump was mentally incompetent when he was in office, or that he's too mentally incompetent to run right now. What are the thoughts on a possible terror attack here in the United States or in Europe that changes everything? Perhaps something that reflects what we saw with the Moscow Mall massacre, because there you had kind of low-level, low-intelligent patsy types that massacred people without really knowing who they were doing it for, but for a very, very small amount of money. If something like that were to happen in this country, could that forego the election and maybe, again, put us on the path to more military conflict?
Yeah, most definitely. And that's probably more likely what you say. And just statistically, for me, if something like that happens, false flag operation, because if we look back, you know, I've interviewed Trevor Aronson, who wrote the book, FBI Manufacturing Terror. Every domestic terror event since 9/11 was had FBI informants or agents. And then, you know, Oklahoma, 1993 World Trade Center, you know, loose change, of course, you did 9/11. We can just go on and on. Statistically, if anything like that happens, it's got to be the government. And then why, to what you're saying, to mess with the elections, bring in martial law. I was listening to you talk about continuity of government, and that makes perfect sense. That system is so ingrained that I think you're talking about civil war, that even if it does happen, not much will change.
No, I think that what would change is that a large percentage of what they consider the serf class will annihilate each other. We will have more safety and security measures. Power will be consolidated. Authoritarian measures and practices will become the norm. And that might be it for a free humanity. You know, free thought, free expression might be on the table. And that's why it's so important you guys support TNTRadio.live and other independent media outlets like it. Hrvori, we've got less than a minute left. Let people know where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, support TNT. I got my TNT shirt right here. And geopoliticsandempire.com. I'm doing my podcast there. Become a subscriber on the Substack.
Brother, thank you so much for joining us. And again, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you guys for joining me the past month right here on TNT Radio, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Live, Monday through Friday, where the truth lives. And remember, guys, it is not about left or right. It is always about right and wrong. I love you. I'll see you next week on the flip side.